I thank the Lord for Brother Billy and Regina, and I pray for them. They're doing a wonderful thing here. God's doing a wonderful thing through them and has for the past few years, and I appreciate that. It's a real honor to be here, and I just pray that God will use me tonight, and the Holy Ghost will work in our hearts, and God will meet with us, amen, in a special way. I want you to turn in your Bible, first of all, to Psalm 90. Psalm 90 in your Bible. I was thinking while we were in the fellowship building that it was like Elam, after God's people had gone through so much, and when they come to Elam, they found everything they needed. And it was like Elam to be in there and have fellowship with y'all. Psalm 90, I'll begin with verse 9. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger, even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. The Bible teaches here that it says the days of our years are 80 years, or 70. If by reason of strength there be 80, yet is our strength labor and sorrow soon cut off and we fly away. Teach us to number our days. I don't know how many more days God has for me, but I want every one of them to be used for the Lord, and I want him to use me. And then I want to turn to the Gospel of St. John, chapter 14. Now, I may be like Tom Malone tonight. He said sometimes he just got to read and read and read until God showed up and done something. Amen? Amen. The Gospel of St. John, chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where thou go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I especially want to look at that verse 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Now, the verses I read in Psalm 90 teaches us that we're all, unless Jesus comes in our lifetime, I'm looking for that. I want to be here when he steps out on the cloud and shouts, and the trumpet sounds, and the dead in Christ rise first, and then we were to lie, remain, be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Amen. Amen. That's what I'm looking for. I'm not looking for the undertaker. I'm looking for the uppertaker. I'm not looking for a hole in the ground. I'm looking for a hole in the sky. Amen. Praise God. But it says here, I go to prepare a place for you. Now, we all, except Jesus come in our lifetime, we're going to go by the way of death. It explains that and tells us to number our days. And then Jesus tells us what he's going to prepare for us. I go to prepare a place for you. Then in Revelation chapter 21, some of my favorite scriptures here. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven, the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. I've heard a lot of sermons about heaven. Heard a lot of songs about heaven, and I appreciate all of them. But the greatest thing and the sweetest thing about heaven is two words, no more. No more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain, no more hospitals, no more testers, no more graves, no more funeral homes. Amen. He says here, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. I want to speak to you about heaven tonight. Heaven. God, heaven's going to fix it all. Amen. Amen. Christians never see each other for the last time. I put that up on our board in front of my church a number of times. Christians never see each other for the last time. I went out in Chattanooga, Tennessee, back in the 60s, I think it was, or the 70s, and carried a whole load of young people for joy, the ranks that we had there. And I went into one of the offices there in the building, and it said, had a little plaque on the table. It said, "Chirp, Christians, you'll soon be dead." Amen? "Chirp, Christians, you'll soon be dead." And that's right. Thank God we're going to be with the Lord, though. Amen. Now, when I look at this, sometimes things don't seem fair. When I say that, I mean heaven will fix it all. It'll fix all the wrongs that's ever been done to you. Amen.
That's right.
Heaven will fix all the wrongs. And then heaven will fix me. And boy, I need fixing. Amen. Yeah, I need fixing. It does not yet appear what we should be. We know when it's appeared, we'll be like him. Our conversations in heaven, which we look for a Savior who'll come and change these vile bodies and fashion them like unto his glorious body, whereby he's able to do all things unto himself. I try to be like him, but I make a mess of it sometimes. But thank God one day I'll be just like him. Amen.
Amen.
Well, that's wonderful. When I look at this too, heaven will fix it all. Fix all the wrongs. Heaven will fix me. I'll be made perfect. I'll be made perfect. It says when Jesus comes that we're going to be made like unto him. Amen. Heaven too will not only fix me, but it'll make me perfect. I want to be perfect. But I can't, I try to be perfect, but I can't be perfect. Amen. Not now. But anyway, one day I will be perfect. I think the greatest relief for a Christian, if they really deserve trying to serve God and live for God and do God's work and get God's power and get people saved, I think one of the greatest things is that when we get to be with the Lord, that we won't be able to sin anymore. Amen? That'll be the greatest relief. I mean, a relief to me. Because you can think the wrong things, you can be tempted and all these things, but thank God one day we'll be perfect and we can't sin. Amen. We can't talk about our brethren either. Amen. Praise God. Amen. I tell you, I'm looking forward to that. I want to be perfect, and one day I will be perfect. It does not yet appear what it shall be. We know when he shall appear, we shall be like him. And if I'm like him, bless God, I tell you, it's going to be wonderful. I will be perfect that day. Heaven will fix it all. I mean, heaven will fix all the hurt, all the broken hearts. Philippians 1:21 says, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." I've been to a lot of funerals in over the last 60 years and preached a lot of funerals, and I've heard people talk about they hate that loss. Bless God, it's not a loss. It's not a loss to a Christian. Amen. What we gain everything. We gain everything. We gain a new home. We gain a new body. We gain all those things. And heaven will surely be worth it all. Heaven will fix all the hurt, all the broken hearts and all that. My wife and my three daughters, they used to sing a song, and that song went something like this. Heaven will surely be worth it all, worth all the sorrow that here befalls. After this life with all its strife, heaven will surely be worth it all. Amen. Won't it? Heaven will be worth it all. And now my wife and my oldest daughter, they're with the Lord. I've got two daughters left. And they're probably watching tonight. And they're praying for Daddy. Yep. Amen.
Amen.
Yep. Amen. God gave us six children, three boys and three girls. And now my wife, my son, the oldest son, and my oldest daughter are with the Lord. Man, I've got something to look forward to. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. I tell you, it's going to be wonderful. It's going to be wonderful. Heaven will surely be worth it all, worth all the sorrows that here befall. After this life with all its strife, heaven will surely be worth it all.
Amen.
Heaven will fix all the problems too, all the troubles. You know, Job said, man is born a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Said his flesh upon him shall have pain, his soul within him shall mourn. That's so true. That's so true. But thank God, the Lord Jesus Christ takes care of our troubles. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4 says, he's the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, that we might be able to comfort them in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. God lets you and I go through things so that we can comfort other people. Amen. Praise God. I saw that poor fellow there walking up there. He's got the same problem I have, I think. Them discs, I got two discs at the bottom of my spine about to ruin me. And I've got sciatic nerve. By the way, I took an oxycodone pill before I got up here. Amen. Amen. And my doctor told me, he said, I'm not worried about you getting hooked, but said, when you hurt, you take them. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I tell you, thank God for that. Heaven will surely be worth it all, worth all the heart, worth all the hurt, the broken hearts, and all those things. Today, many people are burdened over so many things, over divorce. You know, I think the thing next to death, as far as hurt, is for family, divorce, and all that. I tell you, it's a shame. Some years ago, I was preaching revival in Spartanburg, South Carolina, for Brother Johnny Bowman. He told me that night, he said, I want you to go with me down to family court in the morning, Spartanburg. I said, okay. We went down there. We couldn't even hardly get in. It was packed. It was packed. They were standing everywhere. But he got the man that was the authority there, and he got and talked to him and told him he wanted to see the judge, and he knew the judge personally. So we went back there in the chambers with the judge, and he tried to help this man about getting his children and all. And I thought to myself, I mean, it was wall to wall. You couldn't hardly walk. All the trouble, all the things, divorce and hardships and things like that, things that are going on. I tell you, thank God that through the Lord Jesus Christ, we have victory over sin. But it bothers me when I see all those things like that. Heaven will fix all the problems, all the troubles. Heaven will fix it all. Fix it all. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 8 says, in the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our bodies. And it is through trouble. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. But thank God, you know, some people sometimes they wonder, well, why do I have so many troubles? Why do I have so many problems? Well, the Bible said in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, He's the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, that we might be able to comfort them in any trouble. By the comfort we ourselves are comforted of God. God may be letting you go through something tonight, you don't understand it, but God's going to use you. Amen? God will use you. Amen. Thank God for that. I'll tell you, heaven will fix it all the hurt. It'll fix all the problems, all the troubles. Heaven will fix it all. I mean, heaven will surely be worth it all. I'll tell you, that heaven will fix it all, every disease too, every sickness. There in chapter 4, Revelation 21, where it said, God shall wipe away all tears from the eyes, and there'll be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain. I've got a man now, he's probably 25 years old, has never walked in his life. And now he's in the wound clinic there at Highsmith Randy Hospital. And he's got infection down in his back. And that man, I've never heard him complain. We licensed him to preach some years ago, but he hadn't been able to preach now. I tell you, there's a lot of people hurting tonight. There's a lot of people going through things. But I've never heard him complain. I'll call him on the phone and talk to him, and I'll say, how you doing? He said, I'm doing fine. Doing fine. He said, I'm praying for my preacher. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I tell you, heaven will fix all the problems, all the troubles that we have. It'll fix every disease. I heard about Brother Woods' wife and how she has LS and what they're going through right now. We need to pray for them and lift them up. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we believe, if we believe with power. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask according to the power that work in us. And we need to pray that God will be with Brother Woods and his wife going through this. Amen. Heaven will fix it all. Every disease, every sickness. I thought I would think of him, but there's so many others. I got a man that had pancreatic cancer, and he's been in and out of the hospital now for months. His poor wife, and you know what? He still doesn't complain. And he was at church the other Sunday. And a lot of people are going through things, and you may be going through things, but I tell you one thing, God is able. He's able. He's able to make all grace abound to us. We always in all things may have sufficiency. Thank God for grace. Amen. Thank God for grace. Heaven will fix all these old bodies. Boy, that's wonderful. He'll fix all these old bodies. Our conversations in heaven from which we look for a Savior who will come and change these vile bodies and fashion them like unto His glorious body, whereby He's able to do all things Himself. Thank God we're going to be like Jesus. Amen. Be no more death, no more sickness, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more misunderstanding too. Amen. Heaven will fix these old bodies. I love that. We're going to have a new body. Have a new body. And when I think of that, I think too about Jerome. Where's Jerome at? He was over there playing the piano a while ago. Oh, there he is. There he is. You know, here a while back, it might have been a year or so ago, I got in the mail. He sent me a cassette tape, and he had songs he played. He'd play one, and then he'd stop and he'd say something to me, you know. He did that specially for me. And I tell you, I still got it on my desk. I still play it every once in a while, you know. I'll tell you, one day you're going to have eyes that can see. Amen. Amen. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because it's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted. Amen. Thank God. God's going to take care of it. Amen. Heaven will fix these old bodies. Amen. He'll fix these old bodies. Heaven will fix the longing for a better place, too, a better home. Thank God he's fixing us a better home. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive it myself, that where I am there, you may be also. Our conversation is in heaven. That's where our citizenship is. Amen. That's what it really says. And he's going to change these vile bodies and fashion them like into his glorious body, whereby he's able to do all things in himself. Heaven will fix the longing for a better place, a better home. You know, that Reggie Sandler, that black man and his family, I love to hear him sing that song. I got me a home. I got me a home. Yes, I got me a home. I got me a home. First thing you know, I'm up shouting and saying, I've got me a home. I got me a home. I got me a home. Amen. Oh, Reggie Sandler, bless his heart and bless his family too. They love God. They serve God. Amen. Amen. Heaven will fix these old bodies. It'll fix the longing for a better place, a better home. I'm looking for a city where we'll never die. Amen. Where we'll never die. The Bible said, a man's days are 70 years. If by reason of strength there be 80, yet as our troubled star, we're soon cut off and fly away. Teach us to number our days. If you knew what was going to happen tomorrow in your life, if we knew ahead of time, I think we'd be witnessing more. I think we'd be praying more. I think we'd be going more. Amen. Amen. I tell you, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seeds, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his seeds with him. Amen. Amen. I'll tell you, if you'll sow that seed and sow those shed those tears and have compassion. I remember my first church. That was back in 1961, I believe. Scotland Neck, North Carolina. I remember that we had a man coming to our church. He was right on Main Street. He had a little jewel store there. And he had polio, one of his legs. And his wife was a member of our church, but Bob never had been saved. Bob White had never been saved. But he's a good man. I'd go in there to talk with him, and he had a little testament where he'd been reading. Every time he'd go through it, he'd mark it. He'd mark it. And I got so burdened for Bob White, I didn't know what to do. Had him on my heart. I was so burdened for him. And one more Sunday morning, it was real cold weather. I went out to church to check the gas. We had space heaters and all. And I got back there, and the Baptist was a hall here and a hall here, and the baptistry back there. And I got down in that baptistry and got in the corner. And I went to pray it. God came down that baptistry. I tell you, I felt like I'd die if Bob didn't get saved. The Bible said you've got to travail. If we'll travail and labor the pain of our soul in prayers and tears, we'll hear the shouts of newborn souls. Amen? But I got down and I got to praying. And man, I tell you, it seemed like God just come down in that baptistry. And I went to the house and told Peggy. I said, honey, Bob White's going to get saved. How you know? I said, don't get saved. And it was a month too late. I was off in a revival. But they called me and said, Bob White got saved. I said, well, praise God, I did my shouting in the baptistry. Amen. Amen. I'll tell you, if we'll travail and labor the pain of our soul in prayers and tears, we'll hear the shouts of newborn souls. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seeds, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his seeds with him. Amen. Amen. Between that medicine and blurred vision and my tears, I'm having a hard time seeing the notes. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Heaven will fix the longing for our loved ones too in the Lord. I tell you, they left this old world. My daughter,
She went to Bob Jones University and she married a young preacher, and they were having had a little baby that hadn't been born long, and she got real sick, and she came down with something they couldn't diagnose, and finally they realized it was lupus, but they couldn't do anything for her. They were going to use me for a kidney donor, but she couldn't take it on account of the steroid things that she was having. But anyway, I went out with me and my wife after church that day. I was pastoring in Durham then, and we went out to Duke Medical Center where she was at, and we went in. It just seemed to me something like supernatural, like God. I looked over there and she was just laying there. And I said, Pam's not here. That nurse run over there and sort of checked her nurse out. Then that cart come in with the cart and all that. But then they all left, went back to, it was on Sunday, back to the church. And I pulled a sheet up over her body. And I thank God for her life. I thank God that, you know, people question God. I don't question God. You know what God, what Abraham said, shall not the judge of all the earth do right. Amen. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Amen. I pulled the sheet up over and prayed and thanked God for her life. She'd always been a leader in our Christian school, and she's always witnessing for the Lord and all. Then I went out to the church, the parsonage, and there was more people there in the house than there was in the church. And I said, folks, it's church time. Let's go to church. I went to the pulpit and opened the Bible, Psalms 116, verse 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Hadn't been long ago, 3 years ago, a little over 3 years ago, my son died with cancer. He said, Dad, I want one of your Bibles when you die. Well, I took and put a red Scofield Bible in the casket with him. I put it in there, and then I prayed. And then I did the same thing again. I went to the pulpit, and I preached Psalms 116, verse 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. It's precious. And I've seen people that show their self and carry on and everything. Bless God, if they were saved, we ought to be shouting and praising God. Amen. 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 Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Thank God for Jesus. Amen. I did the same thing with my wife. Brother Billy, y'all were at the funeral, some of you. I don't remember who all was there. Tom. 67 years if she'd have lived 2 more months. Never complained. I could come in and say, we're going somewhere else. She didn't complain. I know one thing she'd tell me, though. I'd go off in revival, be gone a week or two, and come back in, and she'd change things around, and I started to say something. She said, listen, said, you stirred the devil, and I stirred the grits, amen. I hushed. She was the sweetest thing that ever lived. It's been 3 years, over 3 years now, since her death. You know, the Bible said it's not good for a man to be alone. That's what God said. But I tell you, I believe if I got another woman, she'd come back and haunt me. I got up in my church and I said, I still got my ring on. Amen. Still got my ring. But God is so good. Amen. Heaven is worth it all. Heaven will fix the longing for our loved ones. Amen. Fix the longing for our loved ones. I think of all my loved ones. And then too, heaven has fixed hell so you don't have to go there. Heaven has fixed hell so you don't have to go there. You know, hell's a prepared place. Heaven's a prepared place. Hell's a prepared place. Jesus has prepared the place for us that are saved. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you in myself, that where I am there you may be also. And it says he has created hell for the devil and his angels. And he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. If you go to hell, you'll violate what God wants. He wants you to be saved. Heaven has fixed hell, so you don't have to go there. He's the way, he's the truth, he's the life. I tell you, heaven, where it is, heaven will fix it. Heaven will be surely worth it all, worth all the sorrows that here before. After this life with all its strife, heaven will be worth it all. And I wonder if there's not someone here tonight that you're not prepared. It's a prepared place. Amos 4:12 says, prepare to meet thy God. And salvation is so simple. The word of faith is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and thy heart. The word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes the righteousness, and with the mouth confession made to salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I pray you'll call upon the name of the Lord tonight and be saved. And I pray you Christians, if you've been discouraged, you've got discouraged, listen. He's the Father of mercies, God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles. And we're not comforted in any trouble by the comfort we ourselves are comforted of God. And God will comfort you if you'll go to Him. Shall we stand? Everyone standing, our heads bowed. Before I turn back over to the pastor, I wonder tonight if there's not somebody in the building. Somebody in the building tonight that you don't know for sure. You don't know that you know that if you died right now, you'd go to heaven. And I pray you just slip out and come down to the altar. The pastor will be down here. He'll help you. Some of the men will help you if you don't know Christ as your Savior. Just slip out and come. And then, too, maybe you're a Christian. You got discouraged. You've been down. You needed to come to this camp meeting. You need to come to this camp meeting so God could do something for you. It's just like Elam when all the people were discouraged and all. They came, they found what they needed. And I thank God for this. I thank God for this church. And you just maybe don't realize how much it helps all of us to be able to come here and worship God together. Maybe you got a need tonight. The Bible said, have faith in God. You could say to your mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea. Not doubt in your heart, but believe those things you'll see will come to pass. You'll have whatever you say. These things, whatsoever you desire when you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall have them. Do you need to come and pray tonight? If you only come pray, would you slip out and come? Let's have an altar prayer. Would you come? Will you come? We're going to pray. Would you come? Would you slip out and come?